Hi William, Mike here. I'd like to talk a little bit about the migrant crisis, about the numbers, about the different actors involved, and where this is going ultimately, and finally some thoughts on what ought to be done. Words are difficult on this subject, as it's hard not to appear mean, insensitive, or insulting when talking critically about the recent surge in immigration to Europe. Judgmentalism is a big no-no today. That goes especially for figures in the public eye you hear on radio and TV. What is expected in the media is hand-wringing and virtue signalling. Real talk is not welcome. I know some NGO groups and individuals want to call these immigrants simply human beings, and often you will hear no distinction between asylum seekers and economic migrants. I'll just use the blanket term migrants. On numbers, who knows what the total numbers will be this year? Reuters were reporting Germany alone expects 1.5 million people. That could be a million, that could be more. The immigrant NGOs reckon much less, and who really knows what the multiplier will be when you take family reunification into account, which is something the various migration promoters lobby for hard. Looking at the UNHCR's website, the UN's refugee agency, you get some descriptive data on the composition. That is, are they men or women, adults or children? Of the composition of those being landed in Italy by various nations' navies, the UN says there was 137,000 arrivals in 2015 so far, and only 5% of those arrivals are Syrians. Most are from African countries, with the number one source being Eritrea. So these are the people Simon Coveney has their naval service ferrying over from just off the coast of Libya. Things will die down, I'm sure, for the winter months, but whatever the numbers are this year, they're going to be much bigger in 2016, as precedent has now been set. A free ferry service to a welfare state is a big draw. The crossings to Italy are a sideshow, really. According to the UNHCR figures, about 4/5 of arrivals are not coming up from Libya, but are coming in from the Eastern Mediterranean. About 500,000 people have arrived into Greece and the Balkans from Turkey mainly, and it's reported 70% of those people are Syrians, with large numbers of Kurds and Afghans mixed among them, many claiming to be Syrian also. The UN reckons in September 168,000 people entered Europe, which is 5 times the number compared to September 2014. The data suggests numbers very heavily skewed towards adult men. Anybody with eyes can see this if you look at the photos of those skiffs and barges being pushed out to sea off the North African coast. There is families moving through the Balkan side, but the figures say that the people coming through are heavily male as well. Now there's the bigger picture. The UN's own stats and median population projection shows Africa's population jumped from just 220 million in 1950 to 1.1 billion today and should grow to 2.4 billion by 2050. Most of these people are and will be struggling in a horrendous poverty. The issue with the Muslim Middle East is the demographic differential in birth rates between Sunni Muslims and everybody else. Sunni Muslims tend to have higher fertility over time. And we know differential fertility rates matter in Ireland, from our experience with Northern Ireland and the groups therein. In the coming decades, we will have various kinds of crises and shocks, and that will drive further numbers of people coming towards Europe. The migrant problem will never be solved by settling large numbers of migrants in Europe. It's not a solution to fertility issues in Europe either. Large-scale immigration as a solution to low fertility seems like an extreme suggestion, and it reduces whole cultures and nations down to economic units to be exchanged and changed at will. I think most people, when voting for these soft socialist liberal parties that dominate Western Europe, didn't really vote for this. Germany and Merkel can't really be trusted to deal with this situation, as Germany is still traumatized from World War II guilt. You have, in addition, countries like Sweden, which are clearly suicidal and are operating automatic asylum for all Syrians arriving there. The only ones seemingly immunized against this madness are some of the ex-communist countries. There are people working every day to promote additional immigration to Ireland and Europe for various reasons. There are now over 436 different migrant organizations and networks active in Ireland alone. This is according to the immigration lobbyists themselves. They support more immigration as it creates a racism problem for them to justify further their own existence. Then further immigration is also pushed by the establishment here, which is a believer in the premises of progressivism. And of course, we have these Ireland Inc. business types, which want to reduce the unit cost of labour at the low end of the market. Even church leaders are pushing migrant acceptance these days. Then you have, as the BBC reported, the German Vice Chancellor saying Germany can take in 500,000 migrants a year for the next several years. To put this in context, only 650,000 Germans are born each year. And this guy wants an extra 500,000 migrants on top of that. There's all sorts of these people out there. For example, we have Peter Sutherland, who is the current UN Special Representative on Migration, and has weighed in on this matter and in previous comments mentioned wanting the EU to, quote, undermine national homogeneity. You have billionaires like George Soros and Chuck Feeney, who are funding a lot of these immigration advocacy groups also. Soros himself wants 1 million immigrants a year to come to Europe. I have a clip here from Peter Sutherland, so you can just get a taste of what he's about.
Well, I mean, if one looks at the key arguments and issues relating to migration and the need for migration, the demographic is the most fundamental. The demographics are a key element in this debate and a key argument for, and I hesitate to use the word because people have attacked it, for the development of multicultural states.
And nationalism is based on the principle that one person is better than another. And that's why I profoundly believe in the European Union as a concept.
The United States or Australia and New Zealand are migrant societies, and that therefore they accommodate more readily those from other backgrounds than we do ourselves, who still nurse a sense of our homogeneity and difference from others, which is precisely what the European Union, in my view, should be doing its best to undermine.
And these are the adults in charge. The mainstream media is completely useless on this matter, as opposing arguments are simply beyond the pale as they don't fit into the progressivist narrative of victim and oppressor. William, you're about solutions, so here are a few modest suggestions. Firstly, shut down immediately any talk of mandatory migrant quotas by pointing out the €3 billion in aid the Irish government has paid out to aid agencies in its current term. Much of that money borrowed at interest, I might add. The Australian solution has been mentioned to this problem before if the goal is to prevent migrant deaths. Start by simply picking up those people on the barges and bringing them back to shore in North Africa and Turkey. Signal clear intentions or else you will simply encourage more hazardous crossings. Instead of caving into Turkey, lobby to expel Turkey from NATO for allowing its territory to be passed through by, among other things, foreign fighters. Sanction Turkey hard if it continues to be belligerent on border security. Currently it's trying to blackmail the EU into granting easier access to the EU for its own citizens in return for defending its own frontiers. This has to stop. I'm sure some cash can be used as a carrot, but nearly all refugee aid is provided by the West anyway, and Turkey is one of the biggest armies in the world anyway, so they don't need that much help with border security. Support Assad and Russia in their efforts to crush the rebel insurgency and return stability. This will help the situation in the Eastern Mediterranean greatly. Task the US, the UK and France with fixing Libya after they wrecked it and stop this right liberal nation building rhetoric. It's all based on the false assumption that everybody in the world is at heart a hamburger chomping American who loves pluralism and everything the West apparently stands for now. Not everybody wants to be a Western liberal. The last 15 years of US wars should have proven that. How many more mistakes have to be made? Now for the few refugees we should accept, make sure that they are housed by all those people who signed that refugee petition to give them a room, the likes of Sir Bob Geldof, etc. We will see how real their virtue signalling is then when it's put to the test. There's a leadership vacuum here with zero future planning as usual. And this isn't just in Europe, it's in the US as well, which is experiencing its own migrant crisis with 20 million illegals in their country. Some of them Irish, I might add. Leaders here need to be asked, are we writing an open check for regular settlement without end? Are borders and nations passe now because it's the current year and we are so enlightened? There is something really wrong across the West, right? That saying this is even controversial. I think this issue is going to get worse and worse because European elites don't have the will to tackle this crisis. I'll leave it there, William. Thanks for your time.